We are starting a new series. How many of you guys have ever prayed before? A few of you guys, okay. Right, prayer is such an important aspect of our Christian lives, right? We pray on Sundays, we pray at home, we pray before dinner, maybe before bed. But what is prayer? What is prayer? I feel like there's so many questions that surround this idea that is so common in our lives. See, we see prayer is it can be this most beautiful and simple and just like intentional time to connect with God, but sometimes we don't understand necessarily what it is, and sometimes we approach it with some wrong mindsets and we find ourselves not praying how God has intended, not coming into the presence of God how he has intended for us this morning. Maybe we've asked a question like, who can pray? How do we pray better? Is there a certain spot we should pray? Is there like specifics on what we should do? Does God even answer our prayers? How many of you guys have ever asked that question? Does God even answer prayers? I definitely have asked that so many times throughout my life. I've asked myself, why should I even pray? And prayer is this topic where we have so many questions surrounding it. And everyone's prayer lives look a little bit different. My prayer life is going to look different from your guys's. Mateo's looks different from mine. We all have differences because our prayer lives are a personal connection and personal relationship with God, our Father. But sometimes, have you guys ever felt like prayer just feels like a duty? You're like, I have to pray because it's the right thing and I'm a Christian, and if I don't pray, then I'm not doing the right thing, right? Any of you guys ever felt that way? Dude, I have so many times, and we make it a task. Something just to get done, like, I better pray before every meal so that it nourishes my body. And you're like, I'm eating pizza, and God, please bless this into my soul, that it just nourishes me. And you're like, it's terrible, right? Pizza's bad for you. Maybe it just feels like something that we do to worry in God's direction. Prayer is just like a nice way of dumping everything on God. Maybe that's how we've looked at prayer, that we just get to worry in God's direction. Maybe we've just thought that God was a magic genie, that he's just in a bottle, and if we come and if we pray and if we say the right prayer, rub the lamp just right, everything in life is going to be perfect, right? I think we've all approached prayer with maybe some of these mindsets. But what I want to encourage you guys, though, is wherever you're at with your prayer life, over these next 5 weeks, we're going to grow together. We're all going to dive into this. So you might be at a spot where you're like, man, I don't know how to pray. I have no idea what this is. Maybe you're in a spot where you're like, I've prayed before. I'm still figuring it out. And maybe you're in a spot where you're like, I feel like I got prayer down. I want us to do something. I don't want any of us to feel ashamed. I don't want any of us to feel embarrassed. Or I don't want any of us to feel like we have it down perfectly. Because our prayer life is a journey that we get to come along with God. And we get to seek him. And we get to dive deeper into who he is. And that's all what prayer is to seek our Heavenly Father. And that's what we're talking about this morning. Can you guys say, God is Father? Say it one more time with a little more oomph. There you go. So God is Father. Would you guys mind just praying with me as we open our prayer series this morning? God, we invite you in right now. And as we dive into this topic of prayer today, would you just open up our hearts, open up our minds? May we just see you more. May we understand that prayer is about connecting with you above all else. And that we come to a life of prayer to be delighted in who you are, God. That you are our Father, and that you are loving, and that you are faithful. And so, God, today, would you just tear down any barriers of misconceptions that we've had of prayer? Would you tear down any false ideas that we've had of who you are? And would you just reveal yourself to us as our Father today? So we love you, we thank you, we give you all the honor, all the glory, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. All right, we're going to hop over to Matthew chapter 6 this morning. I want you guys to follow along with me. It's going to be on the screen. Read it with me. It says, whenever you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, because they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by people. Truly, I tell you, they have their reward. But when you pray, go into your private room, shut your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, don't babble like Gentiles, since they imagine they'll be heard for their many words. Don't be like them, because your Father, everybody say your Father, knows the things that you need before you ask him. When I read this verse, the main word that sticks out that I just love is the word babble. I think it's hilarious. How many of you guys have ever just heard someone just babble and they just continue to talk and to say the most like random stuff and you're like, bro, what are you saying, right? This made me think of a movie clip of a guy who was praying, and it kind of sounded like this babbling that we see in Matthew. Can we play that clip real quick, Gabe? Do we got any audio from that, J. Cole? Infant Jesus. Can we restart that?
Don't. Okay.
Thank you, Gabe.
Dear 8-pound, 6-ounce, newborn infant Jesus, don't even know a word yet. just a little infant, so cuddly, but still omnipotent. Mm. We just thank you for all the races I've won and the $21.2 million. Woo!
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 Ow!
Love that money that I have accrued over this past season. Also, due to a binding endorsement contract that stipulates I mention Powerade at each race, I just want to say that Powerade is delicious, and it cools you off on a hot summer day. And we look forward to Powerade's release of Mystic Mountain Blueberry.
Mm.
Thank you for all your power and your grace, dear baby God. Amen.
Amen.
All right. I want to state this right now. Do not pray like that. I'm not saying that's how you should do it. That was not an instruction video on how we should approach prayer. How we should approach prayer. Absolutely not. But this clip is funny. We're all laughing, right? But how true is that how sometimes we approach prayer? I think we're laughing. We're like, oh, thank you, God, for this $26.2 million. And he's just like babbling about things. But I feel like sometimes that's what our prayer lives look like. We come to God to see what he can do for us. God, I need you to do this. I need you to do this. And if you don't do this, well, then I'm going to stop praying. Right? We see our prayer lives as of what God can do. Or we see it just as a duty, as something to do. When we come to a place of prayer with the Lord, the motive in which we approach it is so crucial for us to truly benefit from the power of prayer in our lives. The first point I want to look at this morning is discipline versus delight. If we look at our prayer life as another chore, another thing to get done, a checklist, what's going to happen is it's going to end up sounding like those. They're going to be random. They're going to be non-existent. They're just going to be before dinner because it's the right thing to pray before dinner. Right, but prayer out of duty or just to do it is going to lead us to a place where we're not actually finding delight in prayer and how God intended for it. When prayer isn't where we find our delight, we're never going to experience God in the way that he intended us to experience him through prayer. If it's only out of I have to do this or I have to gain something or I need to just exalt myself through prayer, whatever, if we are coming to that with that mindset, prayer is never going to fill us up the way that God has intended. But let's look at what Matthew says. It says, but when you pray, go into your private room, shut your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. What this whole passage is talking about, how Jesus is teaching us to pray, is that it's not necessarily about going and locking ourselves in the closet to make sure that we're hidden away. But he's saying, where's your heart posture? Are you praying to seek your Father, or are you praying to gain something? Are you praying to seek your Father, or are you praying to be seen? And what's so beautiful is that a true heart of prayer will lead us to take the focus off of ourselves, what we need and what we're lacking, or what we need God to do, and it will put our attention and our everything onto God, on the one that we find delight and community with. When the Lord becomes our source of life, our whole daily routine is going to revolve around our prayer life. Let's look at Psalms 42, 1 through 2. It says, as a deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with my God? How many of you guys, anybody got like a big slobbery dog? No one's got a slobbery dog at home. Dude, you got one, Levi, or sorry, Eli. What kind of dog do you got? A box. Oh, he's probably drooling all over the place, right? Dude, we got this new puppy, and his name is Cowboy. And this dog, he just literally like slobbers for food and water all the time. I'm like, I don't think we could feed this dog enough, but he's always got his big old tongue hanging out. He's always panting for food and water. I'm like, dude, I don't know how much more we can give you. And we got David writing the psalm is that he's saying, God, I long for you just like a dog, just like a deer needs water. I need you, God. I need you in my life. And he asks, where can I go to meet with my God? And the answer is in his prayer life. See, our souls and our lives should be in constant pursuit and constant hunger of the Lord. We should be saying, God, I want you so badly. And the way that we get to come and quench this thirst is through our prayer lives. May prayer be a place where we seek the Lord and his face above all else. Before we bring a request, before we come with what we need, may we come with a heart that desires the presence of the Lord over what he is able to do. Our Father knows what we need. He just wants us to come find delight in him this morning, to come and to be filled up and to be in his presence. So desire versus delight. That's a great, great idea. And like we wanna have the delight in the Lord, but how do we truly do that though? How do we have delight in the Lord? How do we come to prayer with a desire for the Lord? Let's look at what Jesus teaches us in Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. I don't know about you guys, but if Jesus tells us specifically how to do something, do you think we should probably listen? I feel like if Jesus gives us direct instructions on how to pray, I feel like this is a pretty good answer to a lot of questions that we have about prayer. Luke chapter 1 through 4, it says, "One day Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples.' He said to them, 'When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sinned against us, and lead us not into temptation.'" Can you guys all say, "Teach us to pray"? Say it one more time. Say, "Teach us to pray." We have this awesome moment between the disciples and Jesus, and they come to him. They say, "Jesus, would you please teach us to pray? Would you teach us to pray?" But what's so amazing about this question that they ask him is you realize that they never asked him how to do anything else. Jesus is like turning water to wine. He's walking on water. He's healing people. He's doing all these amazing miracles. And the disciples, they never once come up and say, "Oh, Jesus, can you teach us how to do that?" They don't ask that. Because what they realize is that all those things that came out of Jesus' life, the miracles, the people that he touched, the transformation that came from Jesus' life, started with his prayer life. They realized that prayer was the most important thing to Jesus. And they knew that, man, I got to figure out how to get to that. I got to figure out why you're doing that. I got to figure out, man, if your life is the way it is, Jesus, because you are so amazing and so perfect and holy, how are you doing this? And they realized it was through his prayer life. They saw the transformation that it brought all around. It transformed Jesus and those that he encountered. And we get the Lord's Prayer, right? How many of you guys have heard of the Lord's Prayer before? Probably a lot of us, right? It's something that we maybe had to memorize or we've heard it before. But what's so beautiful about this prayer is that he's not just laying out something for us to remember. He's not just laying out this liturgical, like, if you say this exact words every single time, life is going to be perfect. You'll have no problems ever. He's laying out a theology of prayer. He's laying out a mindset of prayer. He's laying out an approach to prayer. He said you should pray in this way or pray like this. He says when you come, model this prayer. But what is this prayer? What is this mindset that we should enter into? It's a prayer that sets our eyes, it sets our minds, it sets our hearts, it sets our souls, it sets our everything, our entire beings on God above, on the one who is above all things and our source that everything comes through. Would you guys walk with me through the Lord's Prayer real quick? The first one is the Our Father, right? Everybody say Our Father. Our Father. What is this? It's looking to our source of refuge. Jesus knows that, man, my connective ability to be with my Father is the most important thing in my life. That I need my Father. He is my source of refuge, my source of strength. It takes all the attention off of ourselves and he puts it on our Father. It says, hallowed be your name. Taking all the glory and all the things that we look at ourselves and how we can be kind of prideful sometimes, it says, God, you are worthy of it all. You are hallowed. May your name be above all things. We give you glory and honor, God. Your kingdom come. The acknowledgement that God's ways are better than our ways. God, may your kingdom come. May your ways be at the center of my life. God, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And say, man, God, this world is corrupt. This world is dark. And I have no idea how to get through this. I have no idea how to fix it. But I know that you are in control. I'm taking the focus off myself. And I'm saying, God, would you come and would heaven come down today? Give us our daily bread. It's a recognition of dependence that we have to have on God. That the things of this world will never fulfill us. That we will never be able to truly be filled up without our daily bread, which is God. It says to forgive us of our sins, God. This recognition that, man, I'm in sin, I'm in darkness, and I'm heading into a life, an eternity of death. But Jesus, because of what you did, God, because of your grace and your forgiveness, I have a Savior and a Redeemer. And it's not by my own will, it's not by my own strength, but it's by who you are, God, and what you have done for me. Forgive those who have sinned against us. Have you guys ever had someone sin against you before? A couple of you guys? I feel like every single one of us in this room should have our hands like as high up as possible because we have all had someone that has sinned against us. And how many times do we want to just lash out? How many times do we want to fight back? How many times do we want to basically go against what God's word says when these people have sinned against us? And it says, Lord, would you help me in my time of weakness? Would you help me to forgive those around me? I am not strong enough to do this on my own. And lastly, don't lead us into temptation. But would you deliver us from the evil one? A submission to God's leadership. Do you guys know that God's leadership is so beautiful and so much better than anything that we could ever experience? Ultimately, Jesus teaches us to pray with God and to seek him, to find all of our delight, all of our strength, and put all of our focus on God first. Yes, we can come to God and we can pray and we can ask for things because God says, bring your requests. We can pray for others. We can pray for our friends. There's things in our life that we're going to have to bring. But Jesus tells us the first thing you must do is come to your prayer life with this mindset to seek the Lord and who he is above all else. Jesus not only taught us to pray, but he also did, right? Jesus himself had a prayer life. What did his prayer life look like? Luke 5:16, it says, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and he prayed. Jesus withdrew. Jesus knew that he had to separate himself away from this world that is always trying to grab his attention away from his Father. How many of you guys have a cell phone? Anybody got a cell phone? How many of you guys have TikTok, Instagram, Snapchat, something like that, right? How many of you guys have a gaming console at home? A lot of you guys, right? What's so crazy is that these things in our hands, our Xboxes, our PlayStations, the things of our life are literally built to take away our attention, to distract us. Jesus was a busy guy. He had a lot of people always coming around him. They were always like, Jesus, we need you to do this. Jesus, come do this. He was like the biggest celebrity in the entire world at this point. To some people, they didn't really like Jesus, right? But he was such a big deal. He was always so busy. And Jesus knew, I have to separate myself away from the busyness of this life. I have to separate myself away from the things that are going on. And I need to go seek my Father above all else. That I know the only way that I'm going to be able to fulfill my purpose here on earth, the only way that I know I'm going to be able to truly pour out and to be here for these people is I have to go withdraw a little bit and I have to go seek my Father and be filled up to find delight to be with my Father. He found delight in spending time. Not only did he just withdraw, he also set a time aside. Luke 6:12 says, one of those days Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. Imagine if you spent the entire night praying to God. Wouldn't that be crazy? One time I did this back in high school. I stayed up all night and I said, God, I just want to pray to you. I want to pray all night long. And I was dog tired the next morning. But I was so filled up that day. I got to experience God for such an amount of time. And I'm not saying that you guys have to go pray for 24 hours straight. But there is something that's so special and significant when we give God a significant amount of time in our lives. We would be willing to give our boyfriends or girlfriends or our parents or our best friends a significant amount of time. Why would we not be willing to give Jesus and God that amount of time when we come to pray to our Father? And that can be such like a cliche, like, oh yeah, just spend time with God. But the reality of it is that if we're spending time with God, if we're in his presence, there's absolutely no way that our lives could not be transformed. Jesus is so amazing. God is so perfect and holy. And if we're just in his presence, there's no way that we could not be transformed. That the things and the circumstances that we're facing in life, there's no way that they would not be changed because we are spending time with our Heavenly Father. So, discipline versus delight. We find delight in it. We learn from Jesus how to pray. But ultimately, all this revolves around one idea, that God is our Father. Say it one more time. Say, our Father. I love what John Mark Comer says. He says, however you see God will determine your prayer life. However we see God, however we approach God when we come to our prayer lives is going to determine everything. John Tyson also says, unless we break the stronghold of false images of God in our minds, we will never be drawn to prayer. I think something that we get lost in is these ideas of God. Who is God to us? And it sometimes distracts us from how we enter into prayer. Sometimes we maybe think that God is a tyrant, right? That God just wants us to bow down, that he's just calling us to these set of rules, and we think of him as this power-hungry God and that he is brutal and he's punishing, which is such a common idea that we see. Or maybe we see God as our cosmic imaginary best friend, that we get to just come and we just get to say, God, I need you to do this for me and just please do it. And everything I say goes and God does not ever speak back to us. If we see God as whatever we want him to be, there's going to be nothing real in our relationship. And what does Jesus tell us, though? He says, pray our Father. He says, Abba. Abba, Father. This is the first time that we see the use of this word in terms towards God. Jesus brings a whole new idea to prayer, that prayer is about our relationship with our Father. Our Father, the one that we get to connect with. Prayer is a life of a relationship with our Father. Matthew 6:6-8 is what we started with. It says, but when you pray, go into your private room, shut your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, don't babble like Gentiles, since they imagine they'll be heard for their many words. Don't be like them, because your Father knows the things you need before you ask him. When you pray, who are you praying to? Who are you praying to when you come to your prayer life? And Jesus says, it must be your Father. Not some mystic being or a genie in a bottle, but the one who has established relationship with you. The one who is pursuing you. The one who has done everything that we could ever imagine for us. And this is so important because God desires for us to see him for who he is as our Father. A father or parent is the closest bond that we could experience, right? Anybody have just like such a close bond with your mom or dad? Anybody? What about you, bro? What's like, who's just such a close person, your mom or your dad? Either one of them? Mom. Your mom? Yeah. Right? This idea of Abba Father is this relationship that we have with a parent. Someone that is so close, someone that loves us so deeply. It's the greatest bond that we see in all of nature and all of humanity. Think of animals even. Their bond with their parents, with their fathers, with their mothers is the closest bond that we have. And we are called to experience the same bond with God. And this ultimately makes our prayer lives a personal connection to God. Not just a suggestion box that we hope that gets heard one day and we get a response back. But we know that our Father hears and that we are seeking him above all else. When we come to a prayer life that is established that we are praying to our Father, though, it also takes the pressure off of praying. How many of you guys have ever felt pressure going into your prayer life? You're like, man, I got to get cleaned up before I got to get there. I got to meet God halfway, basically. Or I've got to make sure I say the perfect prayer so that God can hear me. There's so much pressure, I think, sometimes that we put on our prayer lives. But God is a close Father. It says that he already knows that we need and that there's nothing hidden. And this allows us to come into his presence without trying to hide anything, make sure that we fit into like these misconceptions that we think that we have to be perfect to come to be with God. Instead, we come in and we take a seat and we begin to talk and be healed and find great joy and delight with our Father. I told this story on Wednesday night, but I had this crush back in middle school, right? And I was like so nervous to talk to my parents about it. I was like, Mom, Dad, I like this girl. And like I was just thinking of all like the different conversations that could come out of this if I went and told them I like this girl. But finally, I muster up some courage and I get to this conversation with my dad. And I'm like, Dad, I really like this girl. And guess what he does? He looks at me and he goes, I know. Who said that? Someone was here on Wednesday night, weren't they? My dad looks at me and he goes, I know. God, our Father, he knows. My dad looks at me and he says, I know. And I ask him, I'm like, how in the world did you know that I liked her? And he's like, how could I not? You're the most awkward 13-year-old that I've ever met. Of course. I was like, thanks, Dad. He's like, your emotions are not hidden very well. But what happened out of this day is that like I was bringing this massive weight that I had on my shoulders of like, I like this girl and I don't know what to do about it. And I was coming to my dad to ask for advice, to seek his wisdom, to basically ask for permission, right? And I had all these things that I lined up that I was ready to talk about with my dad. And I got to that conversation. He broke it all down. And he said, that's great. Like, we can talk about that later. Let's go build our relationship. A conversation that started with me bringing the things of this life, a conversation that started with me worrying, it ended up being a time where me and my dad worked on our relationship. I got to experience my father that day. It's one of the best memories I've ever had with my day. We went and played football in the yard. We got pizza and hot wings after that, and then we got ice cream. It's literally like the best day ever. And why do I say that? It's because so much of the time, our prayer life is not about connection. It's about just coming and bringing our requests. It's about coming and worrying, or it's just about what we can gain out of it. But God has designed that our prayer life is a time where we get to come and just be with him. Yes, those things will come up. We'll pray. We got requests that we bring to God. We need to seek him, and we need to intercede for those around us. But ultimately, if we're not seeking God in his presence first, we are never going to be able to truly fully enter into a prayer life the way that God has intended for us. How we see God, how we approach our prayer life is going to determine everything, guys. If we see it as duty, as something to do before bed, or as just like something that's like, I have to do this, we're never going to find delight in it and experience God for us as our Father. But when we learn from the way that Jesus prayed, we experience a prayer life that transforms us from the inside out. Mateo, if you wanted to come up and play with me for a few minutes, pray, whatever I just said. Most importantly, we have to see God as Abba, our Father, who is calling us into relationship with him and to be filled up with his presence. Would you guys all stand with me this morning? What I want to do is I want to go back to the Lord's Prayer. It's a prayer of dependence and a prayer to our Father. And we're going to walk through this together. We're going to pray it kind of step by step. And so we're going to start with our Father. And I want you guys to just repeat after me. I want you guys to pray this. And when you're praying, don't just say this out of duty today, but saying, God, I desire connection. I desire you. I desire all that you are this morning. So you guys bow your heads and would you repeat after me this morning?